The National Security Committee of Israel's parliament, the Knesset, held more hearings this week into a number of controversial bills that would expand the scope of the death penalty and revive its implementation in Israel and the occupied Palestinian territory. One bill, introduced by Itamar Ben-Gvir's Jewish Power Party, and which passed the first round of voting in November of 2025, would make the death penalty mandatory for Palestinians convicted of certain terrorism offences involving the death of Israeli citizens. Joining us now is Dr. Ron Dudai, who's an associate professor of sociology at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, and whose research focuses on the death penalty. Ron, thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Could we begin with what the current situation with the death penalty is under Israeli law before we move to how these bills would change things?
Okay, so there's a longish history here. Israel abolished the death penalty for murder in 1954, so very early, ahead of Australia, the UK, Canada, and so on. And we only had one execution in the history of Israel, which is of Adolf Eichmann, one of the architects of the Holocaust, in this famous trial. He was executed in 1962. It remained on the law books for special offenses like the Nazi crimes, like treason, and there has been a theoretical possibility to use it in Israel's military courts, which have jurisdictions on Palestinian residents in the occupied territories, but it was never used. There has been a long-held policy position of Israeli government since 1967 that the death penalty will be harmful for Israel's security, and I think there was a widespread cultural aversion to the death penalty and what it entails. And this has been changing, and more significantly since October 7.
So what would this suite of bills actually do, Ron? What are the core changes that they would affect?
So in the current bill, there are two major components. One of them is to introduce a new capital murder offense into Israel's ordinary penal code, civilian code. And this will be an offense of terrorist murder, which in practice would apply only to Palestinians who kill Israeli citizens. So the language has been changing between different versions of the bill, but this is to create a new criminal offense of a specific kind of murder, which would be a terrorist murder. And terrorist will be defined as either harming the state of Israel or when the victims are Israeli citizens. So it's clearly targeting Palestinians who kill Jewish Israelis and not the other way around. When one of the sponsors of the bill was asked about it, what about Jewish terrorists? She said there's no such thing as a Jewish terrorist. So this is one aspect. The other aspect referred to the military courts I've mentioned earlier. So the military courts are a component of Israel's occupation of the West Bank and earlier of Gaza. They have jurisdiction in practice only on Palestinian residents of the occupied territories. And there has been a theoretical possibility to impose the death penalty in these military courts, but there have been a lot of safeguards which the current bill wants to get rid of. So it wants to make the death penalty mandatory for offenses of murder or murder-like offenses, and to abolish all sorts of safeguards. Like currently, there has to be a unanimous decision of a 3-judge panel to impose the death penalty. They want to get rid of that. They want also to get rid of the possibility of reprieve or commutation, which currently the Army Chief of Staff has the authority to commute a death sentence to a life imprisonment.
The proposed changes at their highest do certainly seem to be very significant. And I suppose in that context, it's surprising that when the bill was first read in the Knesset, it passed. The Knesset has 120 seats, but it passed by 39 votes to 16, which are very low numbers, Ron. What was going on there?
The death penalty in Israel, and I think in many other countries, is a very complex issue where what is at stake is national identity, is deep values. It's not just a question of public policy. In Israel, the opposition to the death penalty, it's not the normal kind of fault line of right-wing versus left-wing or religious versus secular. So among the strongest opponents to the death penalty are the ultra-Orthodox party, well, have been part of the coalition, human rights organizations, and the military establishment. So it's a very interesting coalition. Normally, you won't have on the same sides the ultra-religious party, human rights organization, and former generals and former heads of the Shabak, which is Israel's famous and notorious internal security organization. And I think for many people at the parliament, the issue is embarrassing. I think many of them don't want to stand in opposition to the death penalty. They don't want to be labeled by the populist right wing as a softies and lefties and so on. But they also don't want to support it because they know deep down that it's harmful for Israel's interest. Even if they don't oppose it out of moral consideration, they know it will be harmful for Israel's security, for Israel's international standing and so on. And therefore, I think you're absolutely spot on that it was almost shocking to see that on such an important issue, the majority of members of parliament just chose to be out of the room. But if it will get to the final vote, I think it will be harder. And in any case, the procedure in Israel's parliament is that you need to have any majority. So the bill can become law even if the vote is two members versus one and the rest are not in the room. It will be enough to pass into law.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Ron Dudai about the bills before the Knesset, which would significantly reintroduce the death penalty in Israel. Ron, complex as it is it possible for you to describe for us how the death penalty debate has been realigned or affected by the events of October 7?
For many people have been justifiably scared and angry and devastated by October 7. And I think the kind of cultural and political inhibitions and Israel's self-image as part of abiding with international law and so on. Even before October 7, that was an illusion, that was hypocritical, but it kind of served as a check, as a limit on many issues. And with the death penalty, I think before October 7, for a lot of people, that would have been a step too much. And actually, Israelis were proud of never resorting to the death penalty and to be ahead of the curve in terms of abolition and so on. The other issue is that part of the overall agenda of the current government, and this has started before October 7, is a kind of populist attack on Israel's judicial establishment, security establishment, and so on. And this has shifted the power relations. So I mentioned earlier the Shabak, the General Security Service. This is not a human rights abiding organization. It is not an organization headed by a lefty liberal. It has been involved in human rights violations, but its analysis, its position has been consistently absolutely against the death penalty, based on the cold analysis that the death penalty would never deter anyone who is willing to die at any case, that it will escalate violence. The current head of Shabak, who is associated with the religious right wing, has shifted the position of Shabak. As far as we can gather, there's no new analysis. What is changing is the political ideology. The Israeli media, again, by and large, has been not critical enough of the government since October 7. And I think that probably would be an understatement. Social media, I know it's a big issue in Australia right now, social media, but social media is the kind of arena where the people who support the death penalty will have an advantage because of social media tendency to make things short, provocative, and sometimes stupid. So I think it's a toxic combination of the difficulty of engaging in rational arguments, populist tendencies in parliament, and the general atmosphere in Israel of legitimizing revenge. And I think the death penalty in this context in Israel right now is basically about institutionalizing revenge.
Ron, as we're speaking, Haaretz is reporting that the National Security Committee sought to remove some of the more controversial provisions of these bills and indicated that that was at the informal behest of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. What exactly has gone on at the National Security Committee this week?
What we've seen is something quite traditional when the first version of the bill will include several absolutely extreme, almost bizarre components. And then as part of the negotiation, you get rid of some of the more extreme ones to make the bill look more reasonable. And I think Israel's government has been the subject of some international pressure coming from especially European countries, basically passing the message that this kind of extreme legislation will further isolate Israel, which is in at any case becoming isolated on the international sphere. And I think the prime minister, as far as I can gather, is torn between the pressure from the populist right. He doesn't want to look soft, but he's also, he knows at the price that will be or could be paid by Israel for passing this kind of legislation. So he's trying to find some sort of a compromise, get rid of some of the more extreme aspects. But I do think it's the symbolism of the death penalty and what a change in law and policy would entail, make it a real hinge moment for Israeli society.
Dr. Ron Dudai, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you, Julian.
And Ron is Associate Professor of Sociology at Ben Gurion University of the Negev, and he's written about the efforts to revive the death penalty in Israel for Plus 972 magazine. His article is Why the Death Penalty Would Cement the Israeli Radical Right's Ascendancy.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.